This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday the 21st of January, precisely 3 weeks into 2020.
Wow, cepatnya.
I know, right? It seems like it's just passed by in a flash. We're nearly into February. Before we know it, we'll be December and we'll be making our 2021 New Year resolutions.
And of course, reviewing the list of things that we should have done but didn't do, and all the failed resolutions. But no, let's not go so forward. Let's just focus on this week because it's the week before Chinese New Year, right? And I'm pretty excited. Everybody's got probably their reunion dinner and last minute shopping and cooking. I love Chinese New Year because I still get the ang paos.
Yes, it's true. Ang paos are the best part of Chinese New Year. I still have a lot of sewing to do because I am regretting the decision to make my own Chinese New Year clothes this year.
Very cool, Lin Ma. Are you going to make me something?
Did you catch the part where I said I'm regretting
it? I'm totally shameless. I'm putting in my request now. Doesn't matter. You can start. And then if you don't make it in time for Chinese New Year, I'll wear it at Christmas. It will be like 9 months, 10 months for you to finish the project.
You will maybe get it in time for Chinese New Year 2021. Maybe.
Okay, I'm putting in my request now nonetheless.
Duly noted. All right. But speaking of focusing on this week, today, this morning, in fact, we have lots of things in store for you. We're going to be taking a look at eco-excuses and whether or not companies and people are using the environment just as an excuse for cost cutting.
And I'll be talking about social media, how it can and sometimes can't help you in politics.
Now, if you want to weigh in on those conversations, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, though, we'll be talking about banning cars from city centres and whether or not that will improve our congestion problems. So be sure to stay tuned for that in just a moment. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Benny and the Jets by Sir Elton John, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin and Shunning. Now, there's an article in The Guardian talking about banning cars from city centres. Now, this is talking specifically about Birmingham City. So London, the centre of London, I think, doesn't allow cars and certain vehicles within the working hours of the day. But basically, this is making the case that if you ban cars from city centres and reconfigure your existing road infrastructure to support pedestrian traffic, maybe a market or two, it might actually be beneficial to the city environment and allow the roads to, and I quote, blossom.
Possible. I think that's possible, but shall we bring this back home? Let's bring it back to KL.
I'm just wondering whether it would work.
Yeah,
in KL.
Whether it would work in KL. I mean, there are certain parts of, I think, especially the Masjid Jamit area, right? So from Central Market to Masjid Jamit, it's very walkable. It's very charming. You walk along the river. They've kind of gentrified the area. But I wonder how much of it will work, partially because of our weather. Mm-hmm. So if you want to pedestrianize it, fine, but it needs a walkway because of the heat and also because of the rain. Now, some parts of KL, I love the connections between, let's say, Pavilion all the way to KLCC because you can walk in a semi-aircon kind of environment.
It's very cool. Yeah. I took it for the first time very recently.
Okay. Obviously, Miss Lin Mark loves her car more than anything else. But no, yes. it's possible, but it's not really on the ground. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing. For the Masjid Jamit, yes, it's on the ground. But it's just the weather. What do we do about it, though? We can't really, you know, completely be out there all the time.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it takes a lot more to go the Singapore route, right? Because on the one hand, you do have that, you are protected from the weather because sometimes, especially the weather in Singapore, I think it's the urban heat effect, you know, the island
effect.
The
humidity is terrible.
Hot.
Yeah.
It's even hotter than it is here. So people go underground and you walk via that connection of link bridges between the shopping malls.
Yeah, or above or below the ground.
Either above or below the ground, right? You kind of zigzag. And while I think that is very cool, you do also lose out kind of on the outdoor nature of it because you are not outdoors. You are walking through shopping malls.
Well, we're beginning to be a bit like that. I mean, the only thing about KL, like I say, is that one of the things is that the pavements are horrendous. So as much as I would like to walk everywhere, and I used to, when I lived really in the city centre, I used to go running very early in the morning. Mm-hmm. And people say, how can you do it? The pavements are terrible. I said, well, it's like trail running, but on the but in KL City, because, you know, there's a missing pothole, and then there's the pavements are uneven, and
There's a sudden curb that drops off onto into a massive drain.
And you have motorbikes parking on pavements, or cars parking on pavements. And you have to kind of run around it. So, yeah, I would love KL to be more pedestrianized. I think that's the way to go. And you want to encourage people from... You want to encourage people to walk more, take public transport. But the infrastructure has to improve simultaneously.
Yeah, I think so. And so for me, the other option would be to cycle, right? Because I even in heat, I find that cycling, because you get the cool air, it does actually kind of mitigate that heat and humidity a bit. The problem is, of course, where do you cycle in the city centre? Do you take your chances on the road with all of the motorbikes and all of the...
crazy drivers.
Yeah, all of the cars on the road. Or do you take your chances on the pavement? Now, when I cycled in Japan, for the most part, because Tokyo is a cycling city, the pavements are all very wide, and if you don't use the bicycle lanes, you are perfectly comfortable cycling on the pavements because there are accessibility ramps everywhere. But that's not really the case here in KL, because when I pay attention, in my neighborhood, I think maybe I could just cycle to the grocer to get groceries rather than having to take my car because it's a little bit too far to walk. And I'm like, I look at the pavements and I'm like, it's not possible because I'd have to stop every 100 meters or so to take my bike down off of a pavement. Either that, or I have to take my chances on the narrow roads that are barely enough to fit one car, let alone two lanes, plus a bicycle.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing about KL. I mean, it's got some very interesting architecture on the ground, a lot of things to observe, but it's just not the best place for it. And you know, it's a combination of things, right? Whether the city hall can do more, whether the government wants to encourage this by spending more money on public places.
It's also culture, though, because, you know, in parts of KL, there are already bicycle lanes, but you see cars driving on the bicycle lanes.
There was an initiative at one time, right? Remember the roads were painted blue?
Yes.
What happened to that?
They have been painted blue. But everyone else but bicycles use them.
Yeah, exactly the point. So nobody follows that anymore, right? So yeah, it's a bit of a sad thing. But I think, you know, there definitely needs to be a relook of this because there's a lot of parts of KL which should have cars removed. And after all, we do have a car-free weekend. And I do see a lot of people cycling on those weekends. And it should be maybe enforced more weekends.
Indeed. And let us know what you think. Could we ban cars from our city centres? You can WhatsApp us 01878988899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you and then we'll be taking a look at eco excuses. So be sure to stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Glory Box by Portishead and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Xiaoning. Now, the environment is obviously something that a lot of people are much more aware of nowadays, and we are seeing, even here in Malaysia, efforts to curb the use of single-use plastics, for example, and to generally be a more eco-friendly society. But there is this article in the Financial Times talking about just these such eco-friendly measures and asking the question of whether or not they're actually done to benefit the environment, or whether they're just done as a cost-cutting measure. Because the author of this article talks about one of her favorite local restaurants that stopped allowing single-use plastics. So, you know, she was having a meal and it was very good, but she couldn't finish it. So she said, okay, you know, hey, you know, would it be possible for me to take this away? And they said, oh no, we don't. We no longer have plastics. So you'd have to have brought your own Tupperware. Your own kind of portable food transport or whatever. And she said, okay, well, I didn't know about it. So is the option to my only option then to throw the rest of this food
which
into the bin?
Which is also not part of, not good, right? Because that's all part of that sustainable, don't waste kind of movement, isn't it? One whole kind of good thing we're supposed to do, throw away less. Basically, I don't know. I mean, the point about all this is that when do you get too politically correct? Is that the right word? Or when do you go overboard? Because yes, you shouldn't use plastic, but if a customer wants to take away their food, which they're paid for, by the way, I don't see what the issue is. And maybe even restaurants can charge for giving you these takeaway containers.
Yeah, so I think that would have been the middle ground, right? Because even nowadays, they do sometimes, a lot of shopping malls or places still do give you the option of, look, we do have plastic bags for you, but there is an extra, a pollution charge, as they say.
20 cents, whatever, you know, fine.
Yeah, which on days when, let's say, I don't have a recyclable bag, I'm like, yeah, okay, you know what, just take the 20 cents, it's fine. Even if it was more than that, I would still allow it. Or they have the option for you to buy a recyclable bag, right? So I think, you know, that's there needs to be that option rather than just kind of paying lip service. Because it feels like this restaurant, and I think a lot, and this is something that we do see here, it's paying lip service to this idea of eco-friendliness and sustainability. Okay, you know, yeah, we're not going to use single-use plastics, but, you know, what are you going to use then? Because the problem is, of course, that alternatives to single-use plastics can be expensive, can be 3 or 4 times the price of the plastic bag or any other, you know, similarly pollutive alternative materials. But I think it is still nevertheless important for companies to show their commitment and actually look at alternatives like this. Be flexible. And the problem is then, though, that what happens when these things impact your bottom line?
Yeah, I think companies, if you ask me, they can practice both. So they can do this because it's something they want to do. It's part of their, let's say, their cause, their, a choice cause, so the environment. You know, it's good for their public relations, it's good for their image. But at the same time, I think it's something that, you know, it has to be done correctly also, not to the detriment of the consumer, right? Because this lady, she paid for her laksa. I don't see what the issue is. Why can't she take it home? And honestly, how many of us walk around after dinner with an empty container? I don't know about you, but I don't. You know?
Yeah, not a lot of us. But
I mean, we might go out and take away food and then we carry it with us with the intention of taking away the food. But sometimes when you go for dinner, you don't think you'll have any leftovers, right?
See, but the problem, I guess, is that another issue that she also raises is that it's not just companies that maybe hesitate over eco-friendliness or pay lip service to it in order to avoid it affecting their bottom lines. Because there were also, she quotes a survey that showed that people, just everyday people who rate environmental concerns as very high on their list of priorities are unwilling to pay an extra tax, for example, in order to try and contribute to the environment. They're unwilling to pay sometimes as much as $10 a month. They start to complain.
Well, this was an issue, remember, when we were talking about sustainability in fashion, that most people want the fashion companies to drive that rather than themselves, i.e. they want, you know, they don't want to consume less, they don't want to buy less, but they push that conscience on the fashion company. And that also doesn't work, right?
Because passing off that responsibility.
So we also have to make these choices, right? So if you want to use disposable plastic because you didn't bring it, I think pay for it. I mean, that's a little you can do. And then hopefully that money doesn't just go to the restaurant, but goes to some environmental cause.
Well, let us know what you think. Would you pay more money in order to help save the environment? You can WhatsApp us 01878988899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have the 6:30 news coming up for you. But first, here is Working Class Hero by John Lennon, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Mykonos by Fleet Foxes. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Shaoning. Now, we're taking a look this morning at an article in the Malay Mail Online with comments from the Secretary General of Parti Amanah Negara. So Dato' Hatta Ramli said that social media is one of the reasons that public perception against Pakatan Harapan has been waning because the perception of instability within the ruling coalition has been exacerbated by comments made on social media and the criticisms that can be made by any person on the street.
He's, by the way, the entrepreneur, deputy entrepreneur minister, isn't he? Okay. The point about this is that is he saying exacerbated or exaggerated? Because some of it must be true, right? I mean, otherwise,
it's no smoke without a fire.
Yeah, exactly. And let's face it, social media is here to say whether or not politicians like it. So they better get used to it. And I don't think you can just blame social media for the reason why you are facing losses for the last two by-elections, for example. And it's all about this new Malaysia Baru, right? In a form of, I guess, freedom. People have the right to post what they want. And if it isn't true, then you go back to doing what you always did, which is to sue them for defamation. What is the issue? Just because somebody writes a story about you, which you don't really like, which isn't the most flattering. But if there's truth within it, what do you do?
Yeah, so I have a problem with this kind of a view and these kinds of comments, because it passes the buck of improvements onto social media and the people, right?
Yeah.
Because saying that, oh no, you know, social media is making it worse, means that you don't have to look inwards at what you are doing, perhaps to fan the flames of the dissatisfaction that is being aired on social media.
Exactly. Or you just like wash your hands. Oh, nothing to do with us. It's the reason why we lost. Rather than, hey, let's have a hard look at what happened. You know, why did we lose these by-elections? What were the results? What were the reasons? Be it national reasons or state reasons or even just specific to that area. And try and resolve it rather than, you know, not a problem. It's social media. Let's just whitewash it with that. And let's face it, for Pakatan Harapan, social media really did help the last two general election campaigns. So
yes,
suddenly now it's the baddie for them.
I mean, social media is a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what it does. And when you have a government that the people perhaps are unhappy with, whether it was the Barisan National Government or the current Pakatan Harapan government, people are looking at what the government is doing, and people are talking about it, and talking about it in a lot of cases on a very public platform. So there are definitely pros and cons to this, because social media can be used to spread fake news, for example.
Yes.
And misinformation and disinformation.
And if it is, then you come out and call it what it is, right?
Exactly.
But he didn't say it's fake news. He just kind of, the article just says that it kind of doesn't, it makes it worse. They're exaggerates, kind of sense that maybe they feel, oh, you know, there's too much bad news out there. But they didn't say it's fake news.
See, I do, though, wonder whether or not there is a reflection also in this on the media itself. Because in a lot of cases, you know, politicians do use the media as their platform to snipe at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the media, of course, picks it up, because this is content that sells. It's sensationalist. So is there some role to be played here by media as well as social media users, not just the Pakatan
Harapan government? No, I don't think it's something that, you know, this is not, the media shouldn't be the party or the responsible for ensuring that political parties don't fight. That's the work of the political party, right? They should stop infighting. They should know what kind of messaging they need to bring out there, right? It's not the media's job to, like, oh, guys, don't fight and we won't print this story. That's not the point of our, that's not our role.
I mean, then where does editorial judgment come in?
Okay, maybe you don't sensationalize it. You report it as it is. But if they are fighting and it's a well-known fact and they're throwing brickbats at each other, we report it as it is. But maybe we don't go down this mudslinging path.
Yeah, and I feel like there is also the distinction to be made between disagreement and infighting. Because, like, early on we did say that, oh, you know, okay, well, it's interesting to see that cabinet has multiple voices and multiple views, and the ministers are not afraid of expressing those views. But there is disagreement on the policy level, and there is just political backbiting, which is what we have seen in recent months.
But get used to it. This is democracy, right? You can't silence everything whenever it doesn't suit you. I mean, basically, it's freedom to speak.
Indeed. Now, do let us know also what you think about this. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you, and then we'll be taking a look at what's on the front pages of the newspapers this morning. So be sure to stay tuned for that after this. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Go Away by Weezer and Bethany Cosentino, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Xiaoning. Now, thank you very much for your messages this morning. we've had a couple of tweets and WhatsApps. On Twitter, Azizul Salim weighed in on the discussion we were having on eco excuses, because we asked the question of, does the responsibility of being more eco-conscious fall on the company or the consumer? And he says, you need both to tango, one side wouldn't work. We also do have a couple of WhatsApps from Philip Samaria has weighed in saying that Pakatan Harapan is going the way BN went. They're going backwards and they're denying it. It's sad considering that Pakatan Harapan has made a lot of good changes and they'll suffer in the next GE.
And Davadai also WhatsApped and he said that Party Amana that it was social media that helped them win, and it's childish to complain about it when it doesn't help you. Yeah, so you can't have it all, right?
Yes. So, and KY Ho also said on social media, the Amanah gentleman has confused content and conveyance. Social media is a method of conveyance like paper. The paper doesn't start the revolution. The revolution starts it by what's written in it.
Yeah, so, you know, it can help you and it can go against you, but you've got to get your messaging right in the first place.
Indeed. And also just this morning, looking at the front pages of the papers, notably, I have two of the Malay papers in front of me. So Sina Harian and Harian Metro both have on the front pages of the newspaper Dato' Sri Ahmad Mazlan and Tan Sri Shahrir Samad, who were both detained by the SPRM and may be charged today under the Anti-Money Laundering Act. So that was, I think, big news that happened yesterday, that they'd been detained that evening after coming in to complete investigation papers. It is also in the NST, but it has been relegated to page 8.
Okay, it's on the front page of the Star, but it's kind of at the bottom of the page because the big headline this morning is Fresh Start for Food Program about the school children. Some of the school children getting free meals thanks to a revamped government initiative. But there is a little column at the bottom that's regarding Tan Sri Shahrir and also the Pontian MP, Dato' Sri Ahmad Mazlan's charges by the MACC. But if you want to read the full story, you have to go to page 3.
The New Straits Times actually does also have the food program on their front page, accompanying a picture of children in a canteen eating a meal of what looks like fried mee, some kind of drink, I'm not quite sure what it is, and a banana. The quote is, "I will not feel hungry anymore in the mornings," which I guess this is the good part of the food program, right? Because, you know, there were questions about where the funding was coming from, whether everything had been lined up properly before it actually went before it was implemented. But the important thing here is the welfare of the children involved.
Yes, and there's lots of studies to show that if children start their day right and they're not hungry, they'll perform much better in school.
Absolutely. So this is going to be very interesting to watch how this progresses. On page 2 of the NST, there is an interesting picture that did kind of give me pause. It is a picture of Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, Gobind Singh Deo, as well as the Kedah Menteri Besar Dato' Sri Mukhris Mahathir, all wearing VR goggles. And holding up what looks to be some kind of weird little Rubik's QR code, Rubik's Cube mashup, because this was talking about the development of 5G tech by 2025.
Maybe they're visualizing the win of GE15 in that little goggle thing.
Perhaps they are.
Okay, and the Malaysian Reserve, it's got the headline: No truth in reports that Axiata reviving Telenor deal. Maybe not. Who knows? And another headline is Malaysian Airlines seeks strategic partner, not new owner, says Azmin. And I think we'll be talking about this story at the 7 o'clock hour. There's also a nice little picture of Aquarius professional divers posing underwater. It's the lion dance in the aquarium.
Oh, yes. So the NST has this too. And I think it is one of my favorite articles this morning. On page 11, Underwater Dragon Dance, a big hit over in Aquaria KLCC.
And guess what? They call it Gong Si Fa Chai SEA. No pun intended, I'm sure.
I'm sure it wasn't intended at all. But that is all that we have for you this morning from the newspapers, because we're about to head into the 7 o'clock news. But then we'll be bringing you the business end of the morning run, so be sure to stay tuned. But first, here's Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.